Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God again. The Kingdom of God is the dominion of the individual, where the power of the state rested in God's sacred institution, the family. That's right. God endowed us with certain inalienable rights. That's who God gave power to govern to the individual man. Now, the individual men come together and sometimes figure out ways in which they may govern themselves, and they create something we call government, or we can actually call it the state. But the status of the state depends upon the status of the individual. You have the rights. The state was not endowed with any rights until you endowed the state. You gave the state its power. And there are clear warnings throughout the Bible about how much power to give the state and how much power not to give the state. I'm always taken back by people who say that we have to obey the state until it asks us to do something contrary to the moral doctrines of God, as they have come down to us through the prophets and wise men and through Christ. But the fact is, in almost every state today, the state encourages actions that are contrary to the moral guides given to us by God. We see an example of those moral guides in the Ten Commandments, which we see on the Supreme Court. They talk about Moses in the law. They talk about the Ten Commandments in the law. Thou shalt not kill. That's how we know thou shalt not kill, because there's a law against it. A law of nature against it. If we kill, then we will be killed. We set the parameters of our own existence, our own legal systems, by these moral doctrines that have come down to us through the ages. But what happens is that we give up some of our rights that God did not intend us to give up. And so the status of the state is dependent upon the correlative status of the individual. If you give the state the right to decide for you in certain matters, the state has that power by your grace or by your granting of it. Now, if you grant that state power to go into debt for you, then you yourself will be in debt because you gave it, you empowered it to create that debt. And now you will be a surety for that debt. And you cannot get your power back. You cannot simply dissolve the bands which have connected you with another, because there's debt involved. The bonds of debt must be satisfied before you can leave. It's the basic simple laws of indenture. You cannot just wave your hand and make them go away. In Colossians 2:8, we are told, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The rudiments of the world, another way that word rudiments is translated, is elements of the world. Stoicho, translated rudiments, principle, defined, any first thing, first principle. So, the first powers of government come from man, granting power to that government. And if he grants too much power, it is called a rejection of God in Samuel 8. In Galatians 4:9, we see, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Go back to Egypt. We went into bondage in Egypt because we did not have the means to take care of ourselves during a famine. We did not have those means because we had betrayed our own brother. And we could have prepared for the famine to come because he would have warned us, but we did not know, and so therefore we ourselves went into bondage, the same as we sold our brother Joseph into bondage. This is a story that repeats itself over and over again throughout history. And how do we bring ourselves into bondage? Because we desire to put our brothers into bondage. We covet our neighbor's goods. We desire benefits at the expense of our neighbor. And that desire for benefits at the expense of our neighbor has become a tradition with us. We have made ordinances. We have passed constitutional orders to make that a reality. That our governments, we've empowered them to take away from our neighbor so that we can have free education, free health care, free whatever. That's coveting your neighbor's goods. That's contrary to the Ten Commandments. And yet we all do it. Yet we say we will obey government until it asks us to do something contrary to the law of God. Yet it has, and we have done it, but we have become accustomed to the idea that it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. But we create the debt of that obligation. Through our covetous practices, we curse our children with that debt. That's what Peter is talking about. Through covetousness, you will be made merchandise, human resources, to have to provide for a government of your own creation, a golem. That's what a golem is. It's a corporation. In ancient Jewish folklore, they talk about a clay monster. But contracts were made on clay, carved out by our own hand, until we have to worship that corporation as a god and serve it and bow down and serve it. And it gets to take our sons and daughters and the first fruits of our labor, all because we have rejected God. And even though we claim to have received Christ, we are actually, through these vain philosophies and deceit, we have been spoiled, as Colossians warns us again. Colossians 2:20 says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world," and the word again there, the rudiments, the elements of the world, and what world? The constitutional orders and systems of government. We're dead to that. We've been set free from that. He's nailed those handwritten ordinances of the Pharisees to the cross and set the Jews free. Later, Romans, Greeks said, "We want to be a part of that government." That government that operates by faith, hope, and charity, not by force. Contrary to John the Baptist said, you know, that we were to do it by charity. If you have extra, share with those that don't have as much. And John the Baptist's idea of caring for one another by charity was contrary to what everybody was doing in governments like Herod's, like Augustus Caesar's, because they had all gone pouring after this way of Nimrod, of Babylon. And we have done it again today. Yet we still profess Jesus with our mouth, but we're not doing what he said. We're not taking care of one another with love. We are doing it through covetous practices and cursed our children with the debt of our avarice and our sloth. So, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why are you a part of that? When you read our article on the Christian conflict, you will see this is why Christians were persecuted under Saturnus, is that they were taking care of one another by faith, hope, and charity, and they made it a law that you had to join their system. Today, through vain philosophies and deceits, all Christians have joined such systems. And they can't get out of them. They must pay in, just like the bondage of Egypt, in order to provide for one another. But there will come a time when the elements of the world will melt. They will break down. They will collapse. This word rudiments and elements that Peter uses, it's the same one. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, And then you have to understand that word heavens, ouranos. What does that really mean? It has a number of different contexts. And he says, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And people think that means nuclear explosions in 2 Peter 3:12. But that's the same word that they're talking about the elements of the world, being in bondage to the elements of the world, sometimes used by the same author. And suddenly you think they're talking about atomic structures. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be such, you know, military exchanges. And they are a product of our spiritual choices. Because we have gone whoring after a way contrary to the name of Christ. Some interpreters of the New Testament suggest that the word elements is referring to those nuclear explosions, and they use Galatians 4:3 in reference to being in bondage under the elements of the world. Are you in bondage under atoms and molecules? Is that what they're talking about? No, of course not. So that's why we see in Galatians 4:9 this beggarly elements, wherein ye desire again to be in bondage. Because that's what they're talking about melting. It's those elements of the world. Those systems that bring you into bondage because you waive your responsibility to make choices for the care of your neighbor. And you say, you take care of that Saul. You take care of that Caesar. And then we get to go do what we want. Unfortunately, when you empower Caesar, men who are corrupt seek that power and want more power. That they have an appetite for power, not for service. Colossians goes on to talk about being buried with him in baptism. We are raised from the dead in the operation of God. We know Jesus spoke about the dead burying the dead, so these are metaphors. Because, why? Because they would not participate in the ways of God. And what are those ways of God? Those are the ways of righteousness. It was Colossians 2:12. And it said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That operation of God is to live by faith, hope, and charity, to take care of one another out of that love, and hoping that they will take care of you, not forcing them and binding them by contract. Because that would empower somebody to enforce that contract, and that power would corrupt them as it corrupted Saul. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we should be doing that, not coveting each other's goods. Real Christians won't be doing that. Real Christians will be gathering together and providing the social welfare of the people through faith, hope, and charity. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640.